Today we're going to be looking, of course, we've talked about stewardship. We're going to be looking at Matthew 25, if you would like to locate that passage. And I'll be referring to it throughout the sermon. Verses 14 and 15, again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time. Thank you for this passage. It reminds us of the value of our lives and our stewardship. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you know the story about the 2 men that were shipwrecked. And they were frantically trying to build shelter and find water and so forth. And the first guy was just frantic. He was all over this little island trying to make life. The second guy was sitting under a palm tree. He was drinking coconut juice. He was in a lounge chair, and he had no concerns whatsoever. And the first guy said, "Aren't you concerned that we're going to be out here the rest of our lives and this is horrible? How can you just sit there and relax the way you are, ignoring our circumstances?" He looked at this guy and he said, "Son, I came into a lot of money. I started a web company. I made billions of dollars, and I tithe. My pastor will find me." And as we think about stewardship today in this passage, you know, it talks about the talents. And there's one thing that we maybe perhaps don't fully recognize about the gravity of these talents. A talent of silver in that day weighed between 58 and 80 pounds. Do the math. Let's call it 80 pounds times 5. How many pounds is that? Times 16 ounces times $20 an ounce. It's a significant chunk of change. And that's how many of you had ever heard that before? It's amazing, is it not, how much money that they are being entrusted with as the steward goes away. The owner of the land goes away. And he's saying, "While I'm gone, you tend to these talents. You take care of these." And we're going to look at some of that today. First of all, they were entrusted according to their ability. God knew to whom much is given, much is expected, much is required. They understood that they had the ability to do everything that God asked them to do. And of course, you and I are in the same circumstance, if you will. We have that ability. God gave us that ability. He never asked us to do anything beyond His ability to equip us to do it, if you please. Now, there's a story that I heard this week for the first time that I had filed away. Maybe I'd heard it before, I don't know, but maybe I'd heard parts of it. There was a football coach back in the day, and he was a wonderful, wonderful Christian man. And he was very concerned about the influence of athletics on our youth. And he was very concerned about the endorsements that were coming down the road and how our youth, our young people, our students would be affected by these athletes. Now, you might think that was yesterday. It was in 1954. How many of you know where this is going? You know the story. You do know that story, do you not? And what happened was this particular coach, of course, 1954, he put a lien on his car to raise a couple $100 to get in his car and track down the owner of a professional sports team. If you have seen the movie 42, this is the individual that was behind that movie. And so he went unannounced to this gentleman's office, knocked on the door with the secretary, and the secretary said, "Do you have an appointment?" Of course he didn't, but he had traveled all the way across the country to meet with this fella. And he sat there and waited and waited and waited and waited, and eventually the gentleman who was the owner of the sports team let him in for a meeting. He said, you've got 5 minutes. And he stayed in the room with the gentleman 5 hours, outlining his vision of what became Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which is celebrating their 60th anniversary this year, and has had a worldwide impact on our youth around this country. It's one of the best vehicles that I know of to touch people who are involved in sports and all that they influence. It's not just for athletes. Well, the second point I want to make about this particular steward and this act of faith is that they were entrusted completely. Verse 19 says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. They were entrusted completely. Now, there's a perspective of the servants. The first two servants were, first of all, they were looking and they were longing. They were people, after a long time, it says in verse 19, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The implication is they were preparing themselves all along the way for the master to return. They were living their lives in such a way that they were living with expectation, knowing that they would be accountable for how they had managed the farm. There was a gentleman who was being recruited by a mega farm to go to work for a mega farm. The mega farm, in interviewing the gentleman, asked him, how prepared is he on a daily basis? And his swift and quick and true and honest answer was, I can sleep during a storm. Because he was prepared at any moment. These were prepared as well and looking forward to the master's return. The second point I want to make about these two servants is they had a childlike faith. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So all of a sudden the investment has been doubled. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. They had a childlike faith. They understood that they weren't to just sit back and not allow things to happen. They weren't consumed with the fear that consumes many people, the fear of failure. And sometimes in our culture, the fear of success. People who are afraid of failure or afraid of success often find themselves doing nothing, and they do nothing quite well. And it's important for us to understand that their faith was that of a child. And Jesus said, unless you come to me like a child, I have no part in you. The third point I want to make about these two is that they were shrewd. They put their money, the first one in particular, put his money to work and gained 5 more. Having said that, they were also risk takers. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Can you imagine that much money and immediately taking it out in such a way to put it to work as opposed to sitting on it, if you will? My father, by the way, is a very interesting character. I've referred to him a number of times to you already. He was one of the brightest people I've ever been around. I say that even now after all these years he's been gone. He passed away 29 years ago. He invented a number of things in the agricultural world that live on today. And he was so paralyzed some way that he never got or took the credit that he had coming for any of these inventions. One of the inventions you've probably seen going down the road at some point between here and Williamston, he invented the device that actually digs up peanuts. That was one of the things he invented. And you'll never see his never see his name attached to it. He invented a louver for warehouses that was heat and temperature control back in the 60s so that if a warehouse needed to cool or heat, the vents would open and shut based upon that. He was not given credit for any of that. He didn't care, if you will. He was not a risk taker, in other words. Well, the last servant was capable. He said he gave to each one according to his ability, so there really were no surprises in terms of capability. The last servant certainly had the gifts and ability and the grace that he needed in order to do all that he needed to do. And I think it's important to understand that, again, let me restate it, God does not put us in a position to see us fail. Now, having said that, let me share a... I was going to play with you today a little bit, by the way. Many of you have been very kind to ask me how I'm doing physically. And I was going to get up today and talk about how yesterday I had a problem with my fingers and my toes going numb. But I was on my bicycle and it was cold. If you... Sorry. But very capable he was. To the one he gave each according to his ability, then he went on his own journey. Capable. God does not set us up for failure. Is that a true statement? You bet it is. A number of years ago, and I don't know what happened, but a number of years ago at 10 o'clock at night, I was asked to go buy something at Harris Teeter. 10 o'clock at night. I was mad. Didn't want to go out. Weather wasn't that great. And I decided, I'll go. You know, any of you ever do errands that way, begrudgingly? So I get out of my car, parking lot at Harris Teeter in Rocky Mount on Sunset, West Ridge Village. And I get out of my car, and I'm still mad. And I'm walking with my chin up. And I got that tight chin, and I take off, and I'm running fast, walking really quick, and I go to the automatic doors, and boom, they don't open. You ever seen a bug hit a windshield? I'm surprised they didn't tumble and break. I was angry and mad and did not see the sign that says, use other door after 10. Any of you ever been there? God doesn't do that to us. It's not about us going down the path, if you will, and asking, and God asking us to be obedient and to be cheerful and to do the things that he asks us to do so that he can slam the door on our fingers. That's not God. He allows us to move in those directions in order that we might experience blessing in our lives. And it's really God's plan for us is to experience blessing. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Now, let me say that. Not all blessing feels like blessing. Is that a true statement too? You bet it is. There are sometimes the blessing is yet to come. We don't see it maybe in this lifetime even. It may feel like a cursing, if you will. And that goes back to the story of the Native American tribe years and years ago where a boy, young boy was born with a disability. And he went out to prove his manhood at the proper time in the village and was attacked and hurt by a wild beast. And everyone cried out, oh, how awful this is. And the village wise man said, in our language, not necessarily so, you see. And sometime later, the boys his age and others went out into battle. And the young man who had been injured, the young man who had a disability, could not go to war. And everybody cried out, how bad? And the village sage or wise person said, not necessarily so. And sometimes we just simply see things through a very malfocused lens. Well, the second point I want to make about this last person, he was scheming. He was capable, but he was scheming also. But the one who received the one talent went, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, why do you think he was scheming? He didn't know for sure the master was coming back. He didn't take the master's word at face value, number one. He didn't believe it. And secondly, he wanted to make sure, I'm guessing a bit here, but I believe it to be true, he wanted to make sure there was no record of this deposit. He was going to hide these resources so that if the master came back, he could go get them and present them. But if he didn't come back, he would be free and clear of having perhaps 80 pounds of silver. You follow me on that? It wasn't that he just buried them to bury them. He buried them to hide them so that he might prosper outside, if you will, the normal path. Third is he was presumptuous. Look at verses 24 and 25. Then the man who had received the one talent came and said, Master, I knew you were a hard person. Well, he didn't know the master well enough to know that. And he said, he goes on and says, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. And I would say, baloney. He was presumptuous. He was doing what he could to scheme. He was not trusting. He was, point four, an underachiever. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. See, the issue here was not ability. It was not even motivation, because he was motivated. Was the guy motivated? Yeah, he was motivated enough to go dig a hole and hide the treasure. The issue wasn't even motivation. The issue was he was lazy and he was wicked. Well, the reward of the servant, the first two servants, they were proud, they were satisfied, they were given more responsibility, they were filled with joy. And the last servant was afraid, and he was judged, and he lost rewards. So I was afraid, you wicked, lazy servant, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Well, there's some real lessons for us today here. That is, I own nothing. This is God's kingdom. I'm a servant in God's vineyard. And I will be judged on how I spend my resources and my life. Strong message, I hope, for us today.